Oh, praise the Lord. My. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Whew. How many knows he's all you need? Amen? Man. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Shanda bokoda boshata bahaya. Amen. If you come in with a burden, you don't have to leave like you came. I said, if you come in with a burden, you don't have to leave like you came. Because the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Amen. And he is in the house. His mercy is oceans deep. Amen. His love is right where I want to be. Amen. And I want to be in his presence. And we are right smack in the middle. Amen. I haven't been here. We've been in revival. But we have watched the services every night. Amen. After we got out of church, I just don't get enough church, man. And we got out of church, and I just went and watched more church. And so I thank God for what he's been doing around here. And I give honor to all those who have ministered before me and appreciate them. I give honor to Brother Donnie Goodwin and the board here. And thank you so much for inviting us. And it humbled my heart. And brought tears to my eyes to get that invite. And we appreciate it so much. And just excited to be here. Feel like the fire is already burning. And so I'm just going to throw a little log on the fire and see if we can't make the blaze get a little higher. Hallelujah. How many come looking for something from Jesus tonight? I don't know if you realize it or not, but just in case you don't, let me go ahead and let you know. Jesus is in the house. Yes, sir. I said Jesus is in the house, and you don't have to leave like you came in Jesus' name. Because when Jesus is in the house, there is no power that can compare. There is none beside him. There's none above him. There's none that compares to the power. Glory to God. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost.
When you walk into the room.
Thankful for my wife. Amen. My family being here. Praise God. I really don't know what to do. I just feel like if I ran fast enough, I could run the walls right now. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Go ahead.
When you walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. And when you walk into the room, every heart starts burning. And nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. For you, Jesus, every hopeless situation. Oh, ceases to exist. And when you walk into the room, all the dead begin to rise. For the resurrection life, it all you do.
Just a few minutes here. Amen. Hallelujah. And tell you, I feel the Holy Ghost, feel like the Lord wants to talk to someone. The message that I feel on my heart to deliver tonight is kind of different for the last night of a youth camp. By the last night of a youth camp, you're just basically preaching Acts chapter 2 and running to the altar. Amen. And but I felt this on my heart today. And actually, I felt this on my heart Sunday. After Sunday night, after I talked to Brother Goodwin, I felt this in my spirit. And Brother Jacob, I brought another message along with me, amen, to the service. And just out of nervousness, but when they began to do that first drama, I tell you what, the Holy Ghost just settled everything in my spirit. There's a lot of things that are named. There are a lot of names that you're facing. There's a lot of troubles and a lot of problems. There's a lot of struggles represented in this house tonight. Amen. But I believe the Lord wants to help somebody. The book of Mark, St. Mark, chapter number 9, verse 1. I want to read 29 verses. Is that all right if we read 29 verses? I mean, loves the word of God. This is all the reading some folks will do, amen. So we'll get it all done in one time, amen. Mark chapter 9, verse number 1. The Bible says, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And there appeared unto them Elias and Moses. They were with Jesus, and Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make 3 tabernacles. Amen. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved son, hear him. Hallelujah. And suddenly when they had looked round about, they saw no man anymore save Jesus only with themselves. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean. And they asked him, saying, Oh, why say the scribes that Elias must come first? And he answered, told them, Elias verily cometh first, restoreth all things, and how it is written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be set at naught. But I say unto you that Elias is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, as it is written of him. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them. They've come down off the mountain now. And the Bible said, and the scribes questioning with them, straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. When he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway, I feel like old Shouting John. You might have to hold my mule and let me shout right here. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And that spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. He was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead.
But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Woo! And if you don't have the right kind of Bible, yours didn't say fasting. Yeah, but if you got the right kind, hallelujah. Praise God. That was free. That wasn't on the notes there. Praise the Lord. I want to preach tonight. I was praying. I was sleeping actually, amen, on Saturday. And suddenly about 4 o'clock in the morning, I sit up in the bed. It was earlier than that. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. I sit up in the bed on Sunday morning. I went to bed Sunday night and about 3 o'clock in the morning, I sit up in the bed. When I sit up in the bed, I could hear somebody screaming, and they were saying, somebody help me. Amen. That's what they were saying. Somebody help me. And that's what I come to preach on tonight. I just come to preach on somebody help me. Anybody ever needed help? Amen. Anybody ever needed help? Amen. Oh, double shunda by. I'm telling you, there's a helper in the house tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your many blessings and your spirit that is in this house. Oh, Lord. Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost. Oh, Shandana Bahayim. Captivate every mind. Bring every thought into subjection to your spirit here tonight. Oh, I pray you give me clarity of mind. Anoint these feeble lips. Speak to this people. Strengthen these young people in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 You can be seated. God bless you. Amen. If I could get a little drink of water, praise the Lord. Praise God. You can see exactly where we're going here tonight. And I read 29 verses for three of them. And so you just got to bear with me and let me preach a few minutes. Amen. Is that all right? Hallelujah. And we're going to preach on somebody help me. But it's a lot of preaching before you get there. Amen. And you sure don't want to miss out on it. Praise God. But I just begin to look at this text here. And look, the Bible said that Jesus told the disciples, he said, there's some of you won't taste death till you see the kingdom come in power. Well, it wasn't, but just 6 days later, three of them saw the kingdom come in power. Amen. And I want to point our attention for just a few minutes there at that transfiguration. Can I get comfortable? Amen. Praise God. I always leave my shirt on. Amen. Hallelujah. So don't get nervous. Amen. Praise God. But I want to look here, if I can, at this supernatural transfiguration of Christ. That was an awesome and most enlightening thing that took place upon top of that mountain. What the disciples were witnessing and seeing was the deity and the glory of Christ shining forth out of a clay vessel. Amen. Now I must stop here and I must be very precise so that you understand why I must bring up the deity of Jesus, because there's an entire group out there now who's trying to deny him his heavenly origin. There's a guy that's real popular. I'll try not to call no names so no pastors want to stone me. Amen. But there's a guy out there, man. He made a statement. He said the virgin birth of Christ is a doctrine that is not necessary. Amen. It's not necessary. I can tell you, friend, if there's no virgin birth, amen, there's no deity. If there's no deity, amen, there is no salvation, because there's no Messiah. Because the Bible says that he would be a root out of dry ground. He would not come from this world. He don't come from another planet. But he owns the whole universe. He just left his throne in heaven and descended down to earth. They plotted once just to kill him, drove nails in his feet and his hands, but he conquered death and he lives again, the original Superman. Yeah, I'm talking about Jesus. I'm telling you, friend, Jesus was born of a virgin, because see, it's proven scientifically you don't have your mama's blood, you got your daddy's blood. All Mary was a vessel carrying a seed born, a man from above, from on high. Hallelujah! I said Jesus was 100% God. How many believe that? Oh, yes, he was. I said he was God. He took him up on that mountain because he was fixing to have to be crucified. So he wanted to encourage him and remind his son of who he was and what his origin was, and that he was God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I can tell you now, Jesus is alive. The Bible says that suddenly there appeared two men on top of that mountain with Jesus. Man, and Moses and Isaiah. I want to just stop here just a minute. There was three powers. There are three powers that have always been recognized by the Jews and by us Christians. Now the Jews, some of them, they do not believe that one of those powers has arrived, but we happen to know that he has. Amen. But there were three powers that were represented: the power of the law, the power of the prophets, and the power of the coming Messiah. Amen. That was the three powers that were recognized. I mean, knows the law has power. Man, if you don't believe Moses had power, you must have something wrong with you. Amen. You go to thinking about the things that Moses accomplished when he was on the earth. I'm getting this thing to Jesus. Just bear with me just a few minutes. Amen. You go to thinking about Moses and the power that he carried and the things that he done. Amen. The burning bush experience. Man, I'm telling you, he's the first one to see the fire of Pentecost. Oh man, I believe that was the fire, don't you? Hallelujah. I believe anyway, amen. Hallelujah. The 10 plagues of Egypt, the Great Sea, Red Sea escape. My God, that sea parting, man. Woo, can you imagine that sea, average depth of 2,200 feet deep, and all of a sudden they're walking across on dry land, got dust devils, amen, kicking up around them, them little old Texas cyclones flying around everywhere, amen, it's the driest powder in the bottom of that Red Sea. My God, you want to talk about power, amen, power to keep 3 million people alive, 64,000 boxcar loads, amen, of manna per day to feed those children of Israel, 23 million gallons of water coming out of one rock. You don't talk about power, man. Amen. You get a rock to grow legs and walk around you with you for 40 years in the wilderness and give you water every day. Do you believe that? You believe the Bible's true? You believe the Bible's absolute? It's the final authority. I'm telling you right now it is. Amen. It's as definite as my name is Joey Brandon Swinney. Amen. Baby kangaroo. Don't look like much of a baby, do it? Got a lot of baby fat. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm telling you, Moses, amen, had power. Amen. With God, that God gave him that law up on top of that mountain. I know there's a group today preaches that the law has been done away with. I can tell you the law ain't done away with. It's been fulfilled in Christ. I can tell you, without that schoolmaster of the law, I wouldn't know I was lost. Amen. Only way I know I ain't saved, I'm not saved, or I got sin in my life, if the law can judge me. Yeah. Don't judge me, man. The famous scripture, everybody knows, judge not to be not judged. Amen. That's the famous quotation of the man with something to hide. Hallelujah. Come on, help me preach here. Hallelujah. The law, you can't make it without the law. If you don't have the law, my God, amen, you don't have that commandment that tells you. Amen. Matter of fact, when Jesus come, he said, Moses said, if you commit adultery, amen, you're worthy of death. I tell you, if you look upon a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart already. That's what Jesus said. My God, the law has power. Amen. The law has power. So on that mountain, Moses, the power of the law with that rod, is walking on the top of the Mount of Transfiguration. He's walking along with you. That man that had visitations on the mountain. Ain't that good? Amen. Not only was the power of the law, the power of the prophet was there. Glory to God, the power of the prophet. Elijah was the prince of prophets, amen. He's the only one of two men who had a personal rapture. That's why I'm walking pretty close to God there, man. You have your own personal rapture take place. Chariot of fire come down and pick you up, take you out of here. I want to talk about power. Elijah the Tishbite, a man who had no origin. Nobody knows where Tishbite is. He just appeared out of the desert, weather beaten, coming out of a prayer meeting in a cave somewhere. But when he come up on the scene, the first thing he did was point his finger at Ahab and said, it's not going to be rain until I say so. That's power. Shut the heavens up. Power to control. Amen. The wildlife. He's down by the riverside, the brook. Cherith, he's got ravens stealing steaks off the king's grill. He's over there with his Weber. Maybe he's got one of them eggs, I don't know. But he got the old charbroiler going. Got them ribeyes on the grill. Amen. Sister Jezebel wanting a steak. Ahab's are grilling it up because he does whatever Jezebel says. Amen. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, he turns his back and that thing's about medium well. And that old raven flies down and picks it up and carries it to the man of God. Anybody believe that? My God, I'm talking about the power of the prophet, the power of God's word. Hey, he had the power to pray down fire from heaven. Whoa, huh? He had the power to, the prophet had the power to pray and make an axe head swim. Elisha made an axe head swim. Oh. Hallelujah. Power to heal leprosy. That's power, isn't it? But all of a sudden, they watching this conversation go on. Jesus and Moses and Elijah. Whoa. They think, man, Peter, he's like most gung-ho Christians. See, the problem with a lot of Pentecost today is God moved one way one time, and instead of praying through like we done the first time God moved, we spend the rest of our life trying to duplicate what happened one time. If I can get my leg going, ooh, bah, bah, bah. That's what I was doing last time. Ooh, and God may not want to move, ooh, bah, bah, bah. He might want to knock you flat in your face, make you cry, and snot all over the front of the church. Hey, come on, somebody. Amen. We're getting a let's build three tabernacles. Whoa, man. We ain't never had camp meeting like this. Let's just stop right here and build three tabernacles. Amen. And while he's talking about building three tabernacles, all of a sudden, they're completely engulfed in a cloud. And the voice of God, the Father, the infinite, speaks out of the portals of heaven and said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Why didn't he say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased? But he said, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Why? Because when the smoke cleared and the disciples looked up, they said, where's Moses? Where's Elijah? They're not there anymore. There's only one left standing, and his name is Jesus. He's the Messiah. So what happened was, the power of the law and the power of the prophet met the power of the Messiah, and the Messiah took them in and engulfed them into his being. Because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I'm here to tell you what God was saying. You don't have to wait for Moses to talk. You don't have to wait on the prophet to talk. Jesus is the answer. I'm writing a song right now. Goes like this. Says, well, I'm Jesus, man. I'm a Jesus man. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I'm a Jesus man. I'm a Jesus man. As far as I got. Try to write a verse and I'll come out and say, I'm a Jesus man. You know why? Because I found out the only thing you need is Jesus. I don't need a program. I just need Jesus. Woo. Man, I'm going to say that again. I think I hit a stump. I said, I don't need a program. All I need is Jesus, man. All I need is a prayer meeting. Oh, we in revival right now. We in revival right now at House of Prayer, the 401 Fisher Street Revival. Well, they name all the other ones. I might as well name the one going on in my church. Amen. Azusa Street, Bonnie Bray Street, Topeka, Kansas. Amen. We're at the 401 Fisher Street. Hallelujah. God's a moving. People I thought would never move. Amen. Going to the altar, getting saved and delivered. Whoa. Hallelujah. Some folk might need to get delivered here tonight. Amen. I come to let you know that Jesus is the answer. He knows he's the answer. Somebody say all power. All. Todos. Yeah. You got any people speak Spanish? I probably didn't say it right anyway. All of it. Not a little bit of it, not a portion of it, but all of it. All power. Go look up the word power. In that passage of scripture, it's not the word dunamis. How many likes the word dunamis? That comes from the word dynamite. How many likes dynamite? Come on, you know you Pentecostal. How many likes a shout? Woo. How many likes that Holy Ghost power? Whoa, dynamite power. Amen, I like when the Holy Ghost falls. Oh, yes, I do, but I can tell you, he wasn't talking about dunamis power when Jesus said all power. That word was the Greek word exousia. If you look that word up, that means jurisdiction. Amen, I'm telling you, there is not one place, there is not one thing. There are some young people in this house tonight. There might even be some old people in this house tonight who find themselves in places that they need help. They need victory. They don't feel like anything or anybody can come to where they're at and help them in the midst of their trouble. But Jesus said, all jurisdiction belongs to me. Glory to God. Complete. The Jesus thing. I thought John was supposed to come first for the Messiah. He said he is. He's already come. That's what the Bible said. I remember just reading that. He did come. And they done to him whatever they wanted to do to him. See, young folks, the devil don't like the word of God. You understand? You understand? The devil don't like the word of God. John the Baptist come on the scene declaring the word of God, and the first thing he did was point his finger on the end of the whatever that guy's Agrippa's nose, and or whatever he was, Herod. Whoo! Pointed his finger on the end of Herod's nose, said, "It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And it made her mad. Herodias, that was her name. It made her mad. And then Herod had Herodias' daughter come dance for him at his birthday party. And while she was dancing, amen, Herodias said that the king's going to like how you dance, and he's going to offer you something. And when he does, I want you to ask for the head of John Baptist. He was the greatest Baptist that ever lived. Amen. John Baptist, he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. John Baptist, I want you to ask for the head of John Baptist. And so she did. And they brought her that head in a charger. And Brother Benny Torbert told me, amen, that history says that when Herodias got the head of John, I know this is a little barbaric, amen, but it's the truth. When Herodias got the head of John Baptist, she opened his mouth and took a stake and drove it through his tongue. You want to know why she done something so wicked? Because even as a dead man, she could hear the word of God penetrating her heart. There's a lot of things you can get away from, but you can't get away from the word of God. See, I'm giving you the word tonight, and you can't get away from the word. And I want you to know something. Amen. I'm going to let you know here, or rather the word of God lets you know, that you can find help. Because the one who has all powers in the house. I told you it all come together. You just got to hang on a minute. Let me get there. Amen. There is one in this house who has all power. And he can help you by the word of God. We need the word of God. Now I got some statistics I want to read to you. We live in a country to where one in five households has a Bible. And if they're evangelical, one in three has up to three, or no less than three. One in three has no less than three. Isn't that amazing? Listen, Americans revere the Bible. By large they do. But they don't read it. And because they don't read it, we have a nation that's become biblically illiterate. How bad is it? Well, I studied behind a couple of different researchers, and they said fewer than half of all adults can name four of the Gospels, can name the four Gospels. Many Christians cannot identify more than two or three disciples. According to data from the Barna Research Group, 60% of Americans can't name even five of the Ten Commandments. No wonder people break the Ten Commandments all the time. They don't even know what they are. Come on, somebody. Yeah, amen. It's getting worse and worse. Multiple surveys revealed a problem. They said, according to 82% of Americans, God helps those who help themselves is a Bible verse. And the evangelical Christians, they on 81% of them said it. God helps them who help themselves. Hallelujah. Where's that found at? That's found in Idiot chapter 2, verse 4. Yes, sir. It's not in the Bible. You know what that is? That's humanism. That's trying to convince young people they can, man, I feel like preaching right now. I said, that's trying to convince beautiful, beautiful young people. I'm sitting here that they can help themselves. You can't help yourself. You can't take care of your problems. You are not powerful on your own. You are not your best person at your best time. Look in the mirror and say, I am my best. Oh, that's hogwash. Come on, somebody. Amen. I am nothing. I said, I am nothing without the power of the Messiah. Man, I can't even brush my teeth right if I ain't got Jesus. I don't even know how to wake up in the right attitude if I don't have Jesus. If I don't have a prayer meeting, I can't even treat my wife right if I don't pray through to the Holy Ghost. My God, I can't do nothing without Jesus. I need the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You want to turn your school system upside down? You don't go there with a self-help book. You go there with the Holy Bible, and you stand upon the truth of God's word. I don't need no self-help guru telling me I'm a good old boy, telling me God understands. That's why there's so much sin in the church. Somebody telling people that God understands. Whew. Do you know a majority of adults in America think that the Bible teaches that God blesses them who help themselves? Hey, he ain't worried about you. You can't help yourself. Come on, somebody. Well, you can do better for yourself. You can't do better than Jesus. You can shave your face, put an Armani suit on, and you still ain't better than what Jesus can do. You can have a job making $250,000 a year and drive a Lamborghini, but it still ain't better than Jesus can do. I'd rather drink branch water and sleep in a hollow log and have the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. God's not looking for your talent. He's not looking for your ability. He's looking for somebody that'll submit themselves. Therefore, under God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Percent of adults in America believe Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. Another survey, listen young people, of graduating seniors said that 50% of them thought Sodom and Gomorrah were a married couple. We wonder why we're so morally impure in our country. We don't even know what Sodom and Gomorrah is. Whew. Don't nobody get nervous. Amen. Hallelujah. It don't exist no more. Matter of fact, you can take a mineral bath right on top of where they used to be. Some theologians believe. They believe that's right underneath the Dead Sea. I don't know if that's true. Some theologians believe that. God just buried them. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why did he bury them? Because they rejected him. And they ran after their flesh. They ran after vile affections. Same gender relationships. Yeah. Come on, somebody. They ran after the filth and the offscour of the world. Ran after evil. God judged them. Yeah. There are a considerable number of Americans who believe that Billy Graham preached the Sermon on the Mount. Wow. We live in a nation full of confusion. Huh? Listen, Christians claim to believe in God's word. They believe it's the divinely inspired and errant message to us. But researchers found that 45% of those that regularly attend church don't read the Bible no more than once a week. Over 40% of the people attending read the Bible only occasionally. Amen? Maybe once or twice a month. Almost one in five churchgoers never read the Bible at all. I wonder if you're in that one in five who never read the Bible. I'm going to tell you something. If you'll read the Bible enough, you'll wake up one day while you're reading and realize that you are the Galatian church. You are the Corinthian church. You are the Philippian church. You are the Colossian church. And everything that's written in that Bible was written for me. I got to hurry. I don't want to lose you. I want to get to this help thing. Amen. In the United Kingdom, United Kingdom Bible Society did a survey among British children, and they could not, they could almost 1 in 3 didn't choose the nativity as part of the Bible. They didn't know that Jonah being swallowed by a great fish was in the Bible. Over 59% of them did not know that. Amen. British parents didn't do much better. Around 30% of the parents didn't know Adam and Eve. David and Goliath or the Good Samaritan was even in the Bible. To make matters worse, 27% of them think Superman is a biblical character. That's worse than that. 1 in 3 believes Harry Potter is a biblical character. And more than half of them believe that the Hunger Games was based off of a Bible story. Oh, don't get quiet now like you don't know what I'm talking about. You know what the Hunger Games is. Amen. Our lack of biblical literacy is staggering in this hour. More than half of evangelicals believe the Holy Spirit is a force and not a person. Somebody say 1, 2, 3, Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. My God, don't you dare sell my Holy Ghost short. He's the third person in the triune Godhead. He is the one who testifies of Jesus Christ and makes him real in my heart. I'm talking about people that need help and they don't know where to go. I'm talking about people that need victory and they don't know how to get it. I heard them crying at 3:00 in the morning. Somebody help me. I come to let you know he's in the house. He wants to save your soul. You looking for somebody? I'm telling you, he's here. You need victory. I'm telling you, victory is a person. His name is Jesus, and he's in the house. You need truth. He's in the house. You need deliverance. He's in the house. You need salvation. He's in the house. You need the Holy Ghost. He's in the house. Help me, Lord. I heard somebody say, help me. I'm tired of what I'm facing. I'm tired of what I'm feeling. I'm tired of what's going on inside my heart. I need somebody to help me. Help me, man. Somebody help me. You'd be surprised what's going on in the hearts of these precious, beautiful young people at this youth camp. You'd be surprised the burdens being carried. And the word of God can help you. The Bible says, and when he got off the mountain, he met a throng around his disciples. They were ganged up on them. They were asking them questions. And Jesus said, hey, what are you doing talking to my disciples? You believe it or how you want to. I believe he walked right up in the crowd. He picked the biggest, baddest Pharisee out of the pack and said, hey, man, what are you talking to my disciples for? Don't you question them without me here. You crazy. Why did I say that? Because I want you to know, men of God, people of God, you got a Jesus that'll fight for you. Even when you ain't got the power to blow the fuzz off of a peanut, he'll still fight for me. Yes, sir. I've been there when I didn't have no power. Son, I've been there when I laid an empty hand on an empty head and nothing happened. I know you too sanctified to be empty. I've been a few times I didn't have nothing and I needed a good old praying through myself. But thank God Jesus said, hey, don't you fool with my disciple. Whoa. Then he looked at him and said, you faithless generation, what's the matter with you? He said, what's going on with this boy? He said, man, he's got a dumb spirit. All spirits are dumb. Amen. It's a dumb spirit. It's a dumb spirit. Throwing him in the, trying to throw him in the fire, trying to drown him in water. Suicidal spirit. And he said to Jesus, if thou canst have compassion on us and help us, if thou canst, if thou canst. There's some of you that you've been sitting in this camp. Some of you hadn't got in. I know that by the Holy Ghost. You like you need to. But you can tonight. And you've said, if you can, Lord, help me. And Jesus spun the if around on him and said, if thou canst, believe. He said, if you can help me, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Woo. So you thought Jesus was the one holding up progress, but Jesus is not the one holding up progress. What's holding up progress is you've got to run to him and say, hey, I'm here, Lord. I need help. Now you think, you may think, man, all that preaching you done about Jesus having all power, that just seemed like that just wasn't all that important, but now we're going to get somewhere. See, what you needed to know is there is a definite source of victory. He said, if you can help me, and Jesus said, if you can believe, I can help you. So now there's a definite in the equation. Where there was nothing, my God, but uncertainty. Where there was nothing, amen, but fear. Where there was nothing but anxiety. Where there was nothing but wondering, is the next time going to kill him? Is the next time going to be the last time? Where there was all this uncertainty, now there is one definite. Jesus said, just believe. But I want you to listen to what that young man said. The Bible says, straightway. Whoa, come to the music, baby. Help me close. I'm fixing to close. I probably didn't been preaching too long. I don't even know how long I've been preaching. I've been preaching too long yet. Listen, say that word with me. Say, straightway. Come on, young people, help me preach. Say, straightway. Don't get tired. Don't get sleepy. Say, straightway. Straightway. That's an important word. Get a hold of it. See, we have a definite. How many knows what a definite is? An absolute. A constant. Something that doesn't change. Whoa, the lighthouse. Come on now. It's always there. The old ship's lost in the darkness and the fog. And he blows his fog on. Move at the light ahead of him. Move. And the man hollers back at him on the bullhorn. I can't move. I'm the lighthouse. Jesus is the constant. He's the absolute. Listen, don't let nothing detour you from the absoluteness of Jesus Christ. What the Bible says is true. There is no other option. Amen. Don't let questions form in your mind. Amen. What about Noah? What about Moses? What about this? Did God really form the world in 6 days? I said the other day, well, a day to the Lord is 1,000 years. So it could have been 6,000 years. Durr. No, it couldn't have, because the Bible said 6 days.
That's right.
What the Bible says is right. The Bible says, let God's word be true, and every man a liar. Oh, the Bible is the absolute, so we've got a constant. We've got a definite. Amen. We know where our help is at. But wait. Amen. Here's the question. What are you going to do with the definite in your life? What are you going to do with the knowledge that the trash and the junk and the battles and the pain and the scars and the hurts that you're facing, with the knowledge that your source of help is in that one definite, that one constant? I had a plan, but wasn't sure I was going to use it. I'm sure now. A definite. The Bible said, straightway. Somebody say straightway. Whoa. I mean, that's what the word straightway means. Anybody? It means immediately. Right then. Johnny on the spot. He didn't wait. No hold-ups, hang-ups, or backups. Amen. Right now. Right now. If you'll believe, God will work a miracle for you. Yes, right now. Anybody believe in a right now, God?
Yes.
Straightway. And this is what the Holy Ghost told me. He said the problem with people is they are having a delay in face of the definite. You have delayed long enough. You have deferred long enough. You have put it off long enough. It's time to get help.
Hallelujah.
Now the word help means aid. How many understands the word aid? That's what happens when a natural disaster hits. There's some young folks that under the radar, in the quietness that nobody knows, you have had a soulish natural disaster in your life. You're going through serious pain. There's some aid here tonight. There's some help here tonight. Somebody might even have the world pulling on them, trying to pull them out. Trying to pull them out of the ark of safety. There's some aid here tonight. Port-au-Prince, Haiti. There was a missionary on top of a mountain. And he had an orphanage, and a big orphanage. Inside a big old soccer field. He had a big old cross, big, massive, massive cross. Big old huge cross. Put that cross up there. Had a big old massive cross. Amen. And he was going to town to take care of some business, and he had a few little Haitian boys there around the building that worked for him and labored for him. Yeah. Man, don't that look good? Whew. And he had some Haitian boys that worked for him. And them boys, he told them, he said, listen, fellas, in the garage over there, I got a little bit of paint. I want you to go there to the garage, and I want you to get you some paint out of that little garage, and I want you to get you a big long ladder, and I want you to paint that whole big old cross. That thing's getting weathered, and I don't want it to rot and fall down, big old huge massive cross. And said, I want you to paint that thing. And so the boy said, okay, we'll get it done. Well, he went to town, was gone for a few hours, and come back. When he come back, them boys had got a hold of neon green paint. Glow in the dark, neon green, bright, shiny neon green paint. And they painted that whole big old beautiful cross bright, bright neon green. He was so mad. He said, them knot-headed boys, they knew it was brown paint in there. What in the world are they doing? He was so aggravated, but he just left it. He just left it there. And a few weeks later, the earthquake hit and destroyed Haiti. And they were cut off from everybody, could get no help. All the towers were down, no cell phone service. And they're sitting around after about 3 days, and there's no help, nobody to help them. But the government knew that missionary. And they had been trying to call and make contact. And they had been fixing towers all around Port-au-Prince. Chris trying to get some service so they could get in there because they knew they needed help, but they had no way to get help to them. And they finally, about midnight one night, they finally, the phone call come through. And the missionary said, "My God, I got service." And he ran out and he hit the phone and he hit speakerphone and he walking around trying to get us. And they said, "We're trying to get aid to you and we can't find you." He said, "Man, we need water. We need food. We need help." He said, "Man," he said, "if we had some point of contact to get a GPS signal, man, we would send you some aid. We got the product. We just need to know how to get to you." And he's looking around trying to figure it out. And said, all of a sudden he turned and looked, and that big neon green cross was just shining like a sore thumb up in the midnight. He said, "Man, listen." He said, "If you'll come due north such and such degrees and due west and such, you'll see a big bright neon cross. And if you'll go just about 20 yards, amen, south by southeast of that cross, there's a big soccer field. We're going to go out there with some white chalk and draw you an X, and you can drop the aid." And they found how to get the aid by way of the cross. I'm telling you, young people, in this house tonight, that the answer is still the same. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. He is your help. Stand to your feet. Let me give me some water. I'm not done. I've got about 3 minutes left. Whoa. Ain't nothing like hot water to keep you humble. Listen to this. Brother Jacob Smith, in just my normal old regular Bible reading time, I come across a little verse of scripture that made my Holy Ghost do somersaults, Brother Jake. Whew. I've read it a million times, but it come alive to me. The Bible said of Jesus, you listen real close right here, young people. Who done the drama? Where's the sister that done the drama? Will you do me a favor? Will you get them signs and give them to one of them boys? One of you fast-legged boys, run back here and grab them signs. Come on, run! Man, we got boys running everywhere. I bet some of them's like that old boy in the Bible. He's running, ain't got nothing to tell. That's all right, though. At least he's running. Run, run, run. Don't get weary. Listen what the Bible says. I mean, let's hear what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 1. I don't remember the verse, but it's somewhere in there. Read the whole chapter. It's good. Toward the end right there, around 16, 17, 18, 19, somewhere in there. It says that Jesus is far above all principality. Line up across there and hold it up. Count how many signs you got. Hold them up. A couple of you girls run up here and grab a sign. Give me a couple more boys, run up here and grab a sign. Till we run out of signs. He's far above. That's good. That's good. Line up. Spread out. Y'all balled up in a ball. There you go. He said, he's far above all principality and power and dominion and might and all names that be named. Name it. I dare you to name it. I dare you to be bold enough. Every head bowed, every eye closed right now. I dare you to be bold enough right now under your breath to name that thing you need help with. I dare you. I dare you to be bold enough under your breath right now to name it. Whatever name it's named, he's greater than, and he will help you tonight. I wonder if there's anybody in this house needs help and they want to come down to this altar. It might be fear, it might be depression, it might be peer pressure, insecurity, pride, anxiety, selfishness. I wrote down it might be abuse, it might be abandonment, it might be rejection, it might be defeat, discouragement, it might be a sickness, a disease, cancer, Crohn's, my God, diabetes. I'm telling you, there is no name that can be named that's above Jesus, and he will help you. He will help you. I said he will help you. I wonder if you want to come around this altar right now, young people, and say, I need God to help me. I want God to help me. I'm not leaving this camp like I came. I'm not leaving this camp carrying these burdens, carrying this pain. I have shouldered this as long as I can. I need Jesus. I need the cross to help me. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. My God, somebody's gonna get help. Somebody's gonna get help. All right, young people that's holding the signs, you can go pray. You can go pray. You're needing help. You're needing help. It doesn't matter what it is, young folks. It doesn't matter what it is, young men. My God, don't leave here carrying those burdens. Somebody's hurting, man. Somebody's in this house that's hurting. Shatana Bahaya, you're hurting and you need help. Help me.
And do whatever.
Do you believe?
It takes.
Do you believe?
To get
if thou
to
canst
Jesus,
believe, all things are possible.
For just
help
one
me, Jesus. Help
will
me,
be
Jesus.
Enough
help
for
me, Jesus.
All you're needed. Stormy night when Peter saw the Lord upon the sea. Oh, he said, Lord, you're not that far. Let me come to where you are. And when he stepped out of